How do I start this again?
G'day.
Okay. Okay. Are we ready?
Yep.
G'day and welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets Podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me and forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent, and with me, just for a short period of time, we have
Belinda, the property valuer.
Woo! Smooth as anything. That's why we've got you here.
Let's get straight into it, Chris. Now, you wanted to start with this.
Yeah, well obviously, let's talk about the elephant in the room. We're definitely not an elephant by any stretch of the imagination, but we have lovely Belinda here today, all things valuation. So we want to have an episode basic to focus on valuations, but Kurt and myself, he does sort of property assessments. What do you call them for clients?
Well, they're appraisals, but we try and spruce it up. Home assessments
home
now.
Assessments.
Thanks for not calling them valuations, by the way. Appreciate that.
That's good.
Actually, I'm going to jump straight in there. So many times someone asks me for an evaluation and I have to actually tell them, I was like, look, I can appraise for what your property can be marketed at or you could get. However, I cannot value your home.
Interesting. And so as a buyer's agent, I do a series of CMAs, so comparative market analysis reports, where I do give an indication of what I believe a property will sell for, as I'm always interested more in the property selling or buying part of it at the end of the day.
But if both someone of ours, questions us...
Yeah, we've got 1,000 asterisks next to ours to say, we are not an expert, we're just giving you a guide. And don't speak to Belle.
Actual expert.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Actual.
So we want to, I guess, pull the curtain back and go, maybe just for basics, Belle, maybe you could summarise or short answer, if you can.
Yeah.
Valuer, what do you do?
So I'll explain why you guys can't use the word valuation.
Oh, this is good.
Okay.
We're being schooled now.
Because technically a valuer is, and I don't say this to be like I'm better than you guys, but a valuer is the only property professional that is legally allowed to attribute a value on a property. Because that value then is legally binding. And it can be used in the court of law.
Mm.
So if you get divorced, if a government puts a highway through your land, if your next door neighbor's fence is 37 centimeters on your side of the boundary and you want compensation, it's only the values report that can be accepted anywhere as a legally binding document and not an opinion. And that's the difference.
Who would trust real estate agents anyway? So
I definitely say you're better than both of us. It's fine to start off with that.
And I guess we've got to do a three-year uni degree. And then from that,
we did not have to do
that. 3 years. Then you got to work 2 years as a grad. So before a valuer is actually on the ground working and doing work in a like an unconditional manner, it's 6 years.
So
it could be a doctor, could be a valuer.
Could be a doctor. Well, I'm definitely not a doctor. So key question for me is: a valuer only ever gets involved to do valuation by the banks. That's I think layman terms, I think our audience would go, yes, that makes the most sense. But I'm sure, and I know from speaking with you, what other avenues do people
get a valve?
Yeah, get a value.
Yeah. So big one is the banks, right?
Yep, number one.
Yeah, because it's a legally binding document for the bank to lend money.
Yep.
Anything that go through the courts. Anytime they need an expert opinion, they get the expert to come in and give that
opinion. You did say you're better than this, but you're rubbing your nose in it now.
Yes. No, only because it's, again, anything that goes through the courts, anything that goes through the ATO, so anything for capital gains or stamp duty, legal document there. Again, compulsory acquisition, the government puts a highway through your land, you want compensation as an owner, you can't get a letter from your agent, it has to be a proper document from a valuer, and there's more things in there. Let's say your neighbour wants to build a house and they want to run an easement. A lot of anybody that's built knows that you got to get a valuation sometimes for compensation.
Right.
So anytime there's movement of money between properties and two parties, you need a valuer. And another big one is, say you guys are brothers and you own a home or you inherited a home together.
Yeah, kind of fight for a second there.
There's always the good-looking brother and the not. I'm not saying.
Of course,
which one,
of course.
We won't go there. Easy, mate. So one of you wants to buy the other one out without the intervention of an agent. You need a formal valuation done.
Interesting.
So you can submit it to the Office of Revenue. Enter valuer.
So love all that detail. My head goes to, okay, it's court. You might need, like you said, could be divorce, might be merger, acquisition, like a business sense, could be all these things. Who actually engages you? Is it one of the defendant or the other person? Or is it actually the court?
Yep, the court requires the valuation.
And so the court finds you? Like how, how
no, this lawyer. So hot tip, if you're getting a divorce and you're watching this and you're like, oh, that chick, she was awesome, I want her to value my house.
Correct.
And you approach me directly, it's then become some sort of conflict of interest.
Oh.
Yeah, it needs to be always at arm's length third party. So the lawyer or the legal representative contacts me.
Okay, so
because if you because you could have been like, hey Belle, I saw in that podcast you're awesome, my wife's a beep, and I'm not giving her a cent. Can you value it as low as possible? I'm like, yeah, cool. Can you give me some cash under the table? Not saying that happens.
You said you're professional at the beginning. But we're getting the mafia now.
Yeah. This is where the courts really got to chop out a lot of that bad behavior.
So if the person wants you, though, like they've seen you on here and they want you, they can tell their lawyer to engage with you. So they can actually put a recommendation to them. They just can't talk to you directly. Direct. Wow.
Yeah, because then I'm tainted. Because I'm an expert. Like I'm a witness. I get caught up as a witness.
Yeah.
And I'm witnessing the value of your
home.
There
can't be any conflict of interest, biasness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We joked before we started the podcast about you being CSI. It only feels more and more real right now.
Yeah, we wear many hats, Chris.
Correct.
So I was just going to say, Chris, I reckon we jumped straight to you had a scenario that played out.
Yeah, so I think good for our audience is always to go through like a real life scenario and just get Belle's thoughts on it. So this was a client, we're buying a property in Putney on Morrison Road, which is a reasonably busy road, 600 square meter block, brand new property. You don't really need to know the details, but I always like to characterize a little bit so that our audience can understand or picture it in their mind. Property was guided at 3.5. We did our own assessment, not an evaluation, but we did our own assessment. I looked at the marketing conditions and thought it'd probably sell between 4.1 to 4.3. We went to auction. My client had approved me to spend very close to the top of 4.3. We sort of held it for a moment. We felt like we were about to pop champagne, and then somebody came out of the top of us, went above 4.3. I walked away. My client was with me. I said, let's go outside. Before I knew it, my client had then decided to continue bidding. That's their choice. I ended up securing about $180,000 more than 2.3, so 2.48. At the end of the day, so that's great. So he's still happy, even though he's got above what I would have recommended. It's his choice. He got off the property merry-go-round, if we call it. I'm not saying it's a bad choice. I think it probably has gone up in value, or that area has gone up in value since, so it'll be fine, I think. The question is, though, is he was CBA, had an evaluation done, and the valuation came back quite low at 3.9.
Okay.
They then had to engage for a second valuation.
Mm-hmm.
In between that, I'm stuck like a deer in the headlights because my client is thinking he's overpaid by $500,000. I've obviously given him, and this is not on news, some form of recommendation on the price, and he's jumped even above what I had said. What do you say to a buyer? Because there'll be buyers here who are either have gone through that or about to go through that where their valuation does come under. What do you say to them? And is there anything they can do in that? It was a good story in the end, but in between that timing.
So I think I was explaining to you before, when we get valuations with contracts attached to it, we don't know the circumstances behind it. We don't even know really who the buyer is or what their borrowing capacity. We don't know anything. All we know is we've got a contract and we've got to justify that to the bank because they're about to lend a shitload of money.
Correct.
Okay.
Classify that. That's our first ever swear word in this podcast.
Well done, Melinda.
We knew it would happen.
I thought it would have been me by a long
shot.
That's
what happens when you get a professional. We use professional language.
Correct. No BS. Or full of BS. No, sorry. Go on.
Sorry, not sorry to the viewers, but we'll beep that out. So it's almost about being innocent until proven guilty because when we have a valuation, it's been exercised in the market, right? Mm-hmm. You've had willing buyers, willing sellers negotiating on that price. It's our job to tell the bank whether that price is market or not.
Yep.
So two things. Whenever I do a valuation and I get a contract of sale, I'm usually at the opinion that it's market. So I try and look at all my sales evidence to, in a way, support that.
Yeah.
And
does it have to be directly comparable, the sales? Yeah. Or can, you know, it might be like a three, if it's a four-bedroom home you're valuing, can you look at a three-bedder that has
similar
features?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the way we do it, our head in, I don't know, other valuers, but for me, it's like, similar location, inferior location. The way you would probably do, I think a buyer's agent, no offense, a buyer's agent's closest brain to a valuer, I think, because you're trying to attribute the true market value for your client because you don't want them paying over, right?
Correct.
Yeah, you're kind of like, well, this is what I think it's worth in the open market. So I think a buyer's agent brain and a valuer's brain are very similar.
Mm.
No offense. No, because you're trying to get the most, right?
Yeah.
We're trying. Because we represent the bank.
Well, he's trying to get the most.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the least. You're trying to get the market value. I actually think, I do agree we're probably closer, but there's probably an element around I'm actually on the side of trying to get for the lowest area, but I actually understand the realistic market conditions. This generator is trying to get the highest. You are.
Yep.
And you're trying to work out all between what's actual.
Yeah.
Well, because the way I explain it to our vendors is that when we present the property, we need to present it, the price guide, actually at where market conditions are, where people see value. Our job is to get people so emotionally invested, they bid and fight above it. But when we do present it to the market, need to try and present it at the market value.
Yep.
Obviously, some agents will go below that, so then you get a lot of people fighting and really push the price up. Which sometimes where people can overpay.
So you just said something, and that's where we are almost that the gate that stops the, like if you think of water, it being money for the home, we're the gate that goes, shook, stop there, that's market. Yeah. Anything more is more than market value. And that's usually where emotion plays in. And we can't put a nominal value on that to the bank because we're like, because where do you stop?
Yes.
Where's that emotion? That's exactly. You means you've done a great job evoking that emotion out of the buyer, but we can't put a monetary value on that to the bank because they're lending money.
Mm.
And what happens then is we see this contract price and this valuer must have gone, holy dooly, won't you swear words? I don't know.
Just learn now.
Hooly dooly, diggly do.
Watch me do.
I can't find any sales evidence. What do I do? So they've analyzed their comparables and gone, well, this is all that I've got in front of me. Maybe they're a little experienced. Maybe they didn't know the area, but they felt that the evidence presented to them in the last 3 to 6 months that have settled within 10 kilometers, potatoes.
Yeah.
I can't justify that. The most I can justify to the bank that I would be able to justify to a judge at court, because it's a legal document, is 3.9.
Yep.
Now, if that ever happens to you, it very, very rarely can you challenge that actual valuer because we have indemnity insurance. And if we are seen to sort of change our opinion, it can get messy on the back end if it does prove that, we were wrong.
But surely if you've done evaluation, let's say sometimes you do a desktop evaluation because you may not be able to physically get to the property, that may get challenged from somebody.
You can challenge desktops.
But can you change your opinion?
On a desktop?
Yeah, so let's say you've done one and someone goes, the bank owner, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you then able to physically go to site and go, well, I've now physically gone to site, so I can...
Absolutely.
Okay, interesting.
So, fight your desktops. But it's very hard to fight your physical.
Yep, okay. So I think that's what happened in my scenario was I think it was a desktop and then physical, and that's what they did, and then they got the change.
Yeah, because you said it was heavily renovated and really well done.
Yeah, beautiful,
And is it one of those ones where you walk in and you get that, feeling?
Yeah,
and you don't get that from the photos?
Yeah, you couldn't.
We also have that issue when buyers come to us and they say, oh, our valuer said the property's only worth this, yet we haven't had that valuer come through the property.
Yeah, challenging. Yeah.
And then we have to try and... We're not trying to necessarily, we are trying to get the buyer to pay more, but we're trying to see that you're $500,000 off because the bank or the valuer has used a valuation.
Yeah, click button.
Yeah.
So in a val, we are heavily, especially in a desktop, heavily comments.
Conservative?
Disclaimers.
Yeah, disclaimers.
Disclaimers. So everything is a disclaimer. This subject, property is... X amount of dollars. We have not been inside the property. If we do get to go inside the property, our opinion may change. We reserve the right to reconsider our valuation. Everything is subject to photos, not our physical opinion.
If this is seen to be the case, our assessment, we put a lot of asterisks on ours. Obviously, ours is not legally binding, but we will say, and physically inspect them and so forth. But yeah, obviously ours isn't as tight or as legally like you actually got to go to potential judge and court.
So here's a hot tip. If you have a valet that's physically gone through and you want to challenge them and you ask for a copy of the report, not directly to the valuer, ask the bank, because the valuer is, we legally contractually obligated not to give you the report. The bank don't want us to. So you're barking up the wrong tree. Go through all the sales evidence, and if you can find a direct comparable sale that they didn't consider in their report, present that as evidence back to the valuer and say, well, you didn't, you didn't use a sale on this street, and use language like, we think it's ours is a superior condition, land size,
aspect. Could it be that they didn't consider that because maybe the settlement, that probably may have sold but not settled. So you as a valuer may not have been able to see that, like it had sold by the time the property was purchased, like at an auction, but they hadn't recorded it in CoreLogic or anything else.
Sometimes,
so you didn't ignore it, you just didn't see it. It wasn't available.
So sometimes the agent puts contact me and they won't put the sales price on. So annoying.
Or it could be conditional. So they might say under contract, but
let's pretend they're not here.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Let's talk about them, guys.
So the reason that's super annoying is that sale could have been a key sales evidence to mine, but the agent's tight-lipped and won't share it. Some are pretty good. I rang one yesterday.
Yeah.
I can tell you it sold somewhere between 148 and 15.
Cool. That's pretty.
I thought he basically told me without telling me. Yeah. That's good. But some are like, we just can't say it. I'm like, man, I'm going to find out 6 weeks anyway on RP data. Just help me out. And they, you know. So if you're an agent, please tell your valuer on the phone because, not you.
I was going to say.
Let's open the gate because you want
to. Yeah, it really helps us to help the clients.
Yeah.
But, another thing is if you do object it, that's fine. And you're like, you know what, I'm done with you. I'm going to get my broker to try another value with another bank. Be careful because the same four or five valuation firms contract to the same four or five. So your chances are of getting the same valuer again. Yep. And then how can we change our opinion?
Yeah, so make it double. It should probably strengthen the case against you potentially.
Mm. And another thing is if you're getting a 3-month settlement, don't get your finance, the bank will know this, don't get it valued too early because the valuation is at the date of inspection.
Like a pre-settlement inspection? Or what do you mean? When you inspect the property?
Let's say you sold it in January and I valued it in January. It's a high sale. You know how the market moves?
Yeah.
Well, let's say it settled in March. Get it valued in March because that'll give it a couple months.
Well, what if your fear is, buyers quite often have the fear, what if the market goes down?
Then get it early.
But how do we know? You never know if it's going to go. It might feel like it's going up, but a lot of buyers have that doubt around, I don't know if it's going to go up or down. I'm really worried about it.
Yeah.
I feel like they've overpaid and then like, I've overpaid, so.
That's not for the value. I agree. I think so. If you feel like you may have overpaid, express that to your broker.
Yeah.
And say, look, I've got 3 months settlement. Can we try and get
this
done, like as push it out? Because I reckon there's a.
Well, I think if you have a strategic broker, you know, not just like not someone just spat out a number, but a real strategic broker, you should be able to have the conversation to go, what do you think?
Yeah.
Without getting them into too much issue.
You know what else is tricky? Let's say you got that sale. But then there's three kind of similar ones and they haven't sold yet.
Yep. Yeah, well, that was...
And you're like, damn, if only they sold. Yeah. Because we've now set the precedent, right? Like,
correct. That's what ended up happening. There was other sales later on that we were definitely feeling really confident about.
So if you bumped out the vow and then you presented the new evidence and you're like, since then, because remember, we're not valuing it on the contract date, we're valuing it on the date of inspection.
Yes.
Assessing
that. Yeah, assessing it from there.
And if you buy and you get an agent and they say, I bought you undervalue, the value is going to value it more. We never do. Because even if we did, banks always take the lower of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't stick our neck out.
Of course.
The market has expressed this value and that's what we're putting on it.
Perfect. I was going to say, did you want to roll into our three quick Qs?
I think that's perfect timing overall. So three quick questions. Kurt, do you want to run through what that is so Belle can be a deer in a headlights here for
Perfect. So for our new viewers, Chris and I started this thing the three quick cues, basically three questions get asked, but they're all going to be aimed at Belle today.
Yep.
And there is no defending, except if we feel there needs to be a disclaimer. Chris has sometimes tossed some doozies my way, or I've tossed some doozies his way, and so people don't take that as pure,
advice,
and they go and ruin their entire investment career.
Who's kicking off first, Baker?
I reckon I will. Does it cost money to get a valuer to come out to the property?
What circumstance? For a bank?
For a bank to say, probably so.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't do things for free. What do you think this is?
Agents, we do free market appraisals.
Yeah, because it's not worth the paper it's written on. No disrespect. Because it's a legally binding document.
Yeah.
So I would suggest if you're getting a valuer to come out and put their legal opinion, you don't go to an accountant and go, hey, can I just ask you quickly? You don't go to a lawyer and say, hey, can I ask you quickly?
Unless you know them really well.
Yeah, correct.
Well, I was just going to say on that, if an agent for the general public has been like, I'll come out and give you a free market appraisal, I don't know why we say free, because they're all free, because we're not charging to give
our trying opinion. To get your foot in the door, I think.
Yeah, well, it is, but just so if people don't want agents coming out.
The other thing too is you got to remember it's just a document that we provide you and then the service ends. Where you take them through the whole year.
Sometimes for them, it's a start of the
year. And we get a couple $100s and you guys get a couple hundred, like
not 100,000, 100,000, let's say 100,000. Kurt's one of the best agents.
You guys have a few more zeros on the end of your fee. That's true, fee for service. It's like a building in pest. You don't go, hey, is there bugs in my wall? Just let me know.
Let's nail it on the second question. That was my fault.
Second question. We'll see if we get a yes or no here. Because this has been something I'm curious of, and I actually haven't asked you this.
Go.
When a property is sold at auction, there's obviously record of there's been 17 bids or something done.
Yeah.
You're not at the auction.
Yeah.
You get sent from the bank to do an evaluation. Does that information get sent to you? Not the bidder's name, though, but do you get told then, oh, there were 17 bidders and this is what they bid?
No,
or you don't see that
at all. And this is why we get, I will drop another swear word, but I'm not. We get agitated when we know a buyer, a real estate agent gets paid thousands of dollars for this transaction. And a lot of it hinges on the valuer, and they can't be bothered to turn up and show us through the property and talk us through the auction and explain the features of the home. It's just, I see it as a little bit of respect. Like if you're sending 100%. your
why don't you do that?
I do. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I tell you, a lot of them don't. Or they'll send their assistant who waits in the car. Oh, I've opened up for you, and they're on their phone leaning against the bonnet. Yeah. And you're like, this is a $5 million home. I'm sure you got a pretty commission for this. Service your client full circle. Take the valuer through. Explain the auction campaign.
And that is why not all agents are created equal.
Yeah, and valuers can tell.
Last question over this man over here. A bit of fun.
Perfect. If you could fly anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Right now?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's outside waiting for you.
Outside waiting for you.
Right now? What's the weather? I'd love to go Europe.
Europe? What kind of country?
I've never done Italy.
Probably. Really?
I've been to Venice, and I'm in the gondolas and all that, but I want to see Rome, I want to see Positano, I'd love to see...
Well, if it makes you jealous, I'll be going there in July.
It does, yeah. But put me in a suitcase in your carry-on.
Yeah, there you go.
Bill, in a suitcase on a plane. I think that's a wrap for this week, Chris. I'm going to say perfect episode.
That was great. As we say, and as Belle hinted at, there's an asterisk here to say, please take all of our advice in general in nature. Speak to the professionals. We'll have Belle's details in the descriptions below, so feel free to reach out to her. But thank you, as always, for dropping by.
Yep. Please follow, like, share, tell your friends, even just one person. You're amazing. Thank you.
Bye.